Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, getting you ready for a Nicole Franzl postseason interview hosted by Taryn Armstrong. Taryn had the opportunity to catch up with Nicole Franzl to talk about her entire game here in Big Brother 22, so I'm very excited to present this. I thought that it was noteworthy enough that I wanted to share it in the main Rob Has a Podcast feed. So you're about to hear Taryn talk with Nicole Franzl, and hopefully we'll be able to have some more of these types of deep dive interviews here for you on Rob Has a Podcast as Taryn looks to catch up with more of the Big Brother house guests. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by our friends over at BetterHelp Online Counseling. If you think that you may be depressed or feeling overwhelmed or anxious, BetterHelp Online Counseling offers licensed professional therapists who are trained to help with issues including anxiety, grief, depression, relationship conflicts, a difficulty sleeping, something that I know that I have experienced in the past, trauma and anger, self-esteem, and more. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you can get matched up with a counselor in under 48 hours. You could easily schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus exchange unlimited messages to communicate with your therapist at your convenience. Everything you share is confidential. It's especially difficult to meet with a counselor in real life due to all sorts of different restrictions. BetterHelp makes it easier than ever to talk with someone. If for any reason you're unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. Join the 1 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp counselor. BetterHelp is an affordable option, and our listeners get 10% off their first month with the discount code RHAP. Get started today at betterhelp.com/RHAP. Talk to a therapist online and get help. And without further ado, take it away, Taryn, with Nicole Franzl.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother 22 postseason coverage. And today I am here talking with a Big Brother winner from Big Brother 18 who played on Big Brother 22, Nicole Franzl. How are you doing, Nicole?
Hey, I am doing good. Thanks so much for having me.
Very excited to have you. Very excited to talk through your game here. I think a lot of people underestimated you coming into this game and came out of Big Brother 22 probably having a greater appreciation for your ability as a player.
I hope so. I think that I am underestimated, and I think I'm still underestimated. So I don't know if you can ever like really get past that, but definitely I feel that same way.
Yeah, I actually, like, early in the season, it was, like, during week one, I think I made a tweet that was, like to all the people who have not given Nicole credit for her Big Brother 18 game, if she does well this season, it's going to be partially your fault, because she's not coming in with the target level she should.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people, it was so easy after 18 to use the strategy of, oh, like, I didn't deserve it. I got robbed, and the house guests bought it. And that's literally what they saw on the internet. So they're like, all right, she sucks.
All right. Well, let me know. So in All-Star season, people have been waiting for an All-Star season for so long that I know the Big Brother alumni, they're all always sort of jockeying for position in terms of like who's friends with who, who's going to be doing what in a potential All-Star season. When you heard about the All-Star season, what was your thought process?
You mean when I got asked to be on it?
Sure.
Okay. I think I was just like, oh my God, did Victor get a call? Is he like an all-star? Like, am I going to have him in there to help me? But no, it was really awesome to just get the call and be considered an all-star. And, but then immediately I think I realized like it hasn't happened for so long because the outside relationships have such a big impact on the game. So people are friends with people, people have been making alliances for years. And I'm not someone that goes to like a lot of the Big Brother events and stuff. So immediately I was like, crap, I live in the middle of nowhere in Michigan. I don't know a lot of people and I was worried. I thought, I have a disadvantage. I barely talk to anybody. And this could be a little bit rough because going in there with friends is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm. What is the game plan then? Like if you're contacted for All-Stars and, you know, this is something that I think a lot of people do, but, you know, phone calls get made, people start talking. What do you do here in the preseason?
Well, I kept my mouth shut and it has caused so much bull crap. I lied to my friends that are from Big Brother and some of them are absolutely holding a grudge against me. But I thought that if the wrong person found out I was going on, they could ruin my chances. And I am someone who I would just rather make it in the house and do what I can do inside instead of worrying about calling and trying to figure out who's on, because I don't know people's intentions. So yeah, I lied. I lied to my friends and some of them are still mad at me for it, but I felt like that's what I needed to do to secure a position in the house.
Well, was there ever a time when you started to see, like, were you keeping track of the rumors of who might be on? Like, did you start to get a sense of what the cast might look like?
Yeah, I kind of got some like hints here and there. Mostly people would call and tell me that they turned it down. So they had nothing to lose in that instance. So a couple people who called and said that they turned it down, like I just said, well, I wasn't even asked because I knew I was going on. And so they had nothing to lose and I did, and they could just talk and tell people. But, I started to see a couple. I didn't know a ton of people, to be honest. I really didn't. And that was kind of scary. I think the rumors really started to spread probably when we were in sequester. And some people, I think, were able to kind of snoop on their phones in there. But I had someone very strict. So I didn't get to look at anything. And I was just, like, pretty much shocked about... I probably had a feeling that maybe 4 people, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought like a lot more people from 16 would be in there.
Yeah, well, I know one of the things.
One of those for sure.
Sorry, what was that?
I thought Donnie or Frankie or one of those for sure would be in there.
Yeah, those are 2 of the names that we were floating around. I know that it was one topic of discussion in the jury, or at least so I've heard after the fact, that they were talking about how people felt like you had more relationships coming into the game than somebody like Cody, and that might have been used against you in a potential final 2. Did you feel that way in the game?
No, I didn't. I never thought that I had... You mean like more outside relationships?
Yeah, like I think Danny, Ian, I don't know, maybe Cody.
Okay, I see. No, I never heard that. And I never felt that one bit because I felt like Cody had just as many, if not more, too. So I don't know. I think that I'm trying to even think of who he would have had. But no, I guess I never even thought that that could be used against me or... that I had a lot of relationships. When I walked in there, I was like, ooh, I feel like I have nobody.
Yeah. You certainly saw Janelle there. I imagine that was not an ideal situation.
No, it wasn't ideal. That's for sure. I guess like it was fine though, because I thought, okay, we can work together. It's going to be not a big deal. And then immediately when Danny started to tell me that she didn't trust me, like on day 3, and then Nicole A like told me she called me a B word. I was just like, this isn't going to work. And let's just try to get her out of the house.
Mm-hmm. Another thing, I don't know how much you've heard about this, but it's obviously not something that's very real. But the committee comes into play pretty early on. You obviously had no communication with any members of the committee as far as anybody is aware.
No, the committee, I can't even believe I got a spot in the committee.
Yeah, you were not an original member, actually.
Oh, exactly. It felt like the bomb squad all over again. Like, oh my gosh, somehow I actually got a spot in like the bigger alliance. So it was like, okay, cool. But I barely got that spot. And I think Danny really pushed for me to get a spot in the bomb or in the bomb city. So I got it. But I know that they felt like I was maybe a mistake because I wasn't winning HOHs and I was the only one who wasn't like dominating, but I thought it was perfect to be covered by all those people. And so I was like, who's going to say no to that invitation?
Mm-hmm. All right. So you come into the game, you see all these people. I have to imagine your first thought process. And I know who you go to. You go to Danny, you go to Ian, and you go to Cody. Pretty much all three of them on night one. Those are the people that you're really looking toward for people to work with.
Yeah. I was looking for strong people to surround myself with because looking around, there's two winners and I kind of panicked. I thought there'd be four or five of us. And coming into the house, I thought making an alliance of all the previous winners would be great because obviously us staying will only help each other, keep the targets on our back. Like there's more. And so there's just me and Ian. I needed a final two with him. And Danny, she was like my girl at the beginning. I was like, I feel like I can trust her. We're like friends outside of this. Let's do like a final two there. And then let's do a final two with Cody because he could backstab me right now already. Like as far as get me out of the house, he was the first HOH. And so I was like, let's just solidify this and see how far it will go. Mm-hmm. And that's basically just was, I was in survival mode immediately. I had so much work to do. Janelle was after me immediately. I was one of two winners and I felt like a lot of people had pre-existing friendships, alliances. I don't even know. It was just a lot to take in at once.
Yeah. I mean, so your relationship with Danny is definitely an interesting one across the season. It did seem like right away you guys had a rapport. I know that she was involved in some amount of pregame calling, contacting. She was telling you, I think, night one that she had heard that that Bailey and Janelle potentially had some kind of a deal. So were you intending on working with Danny coming into the game?
Yeah, I definitely, if Danny, I was like, I would trust Danny. I don't know her a ton outside of this. I do know her, but not like enough to, I guess, call a ride or die without actually being around someone. You can be really good with friends with someone outside the house, but inside the house, it's very different. And so I kind of felt like, let's just see how it goes. And I have all intentions of staying loyal to Danny and I will for as long as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm. So, Cody's the HOH. You have a conversation with him. This is actually the first conversation he has about who his targets might be, very early on. And he tells you that he wants to put up Kacer and maybe like, Keisha, or something like that. And you're kind of like, well, if you're going to put up Kacer, you got to put up Janelle. I imagine was this kind of like, and then hopefully when Janelle's up there, we can take Janelle out over Kacer.
You know, what's insane is I wanted to still work with Janelle the first week because I thought we could get past this. And I think I said in the diary room, I don't know if it showed, but that I would want Kacer gone, which is so weird. And then it immediately switched. So things switched so quick in there. I think probably in 15 minutes. And I was like, yes. I just was worried she'd take him down. But then right after that, I guess I was like, yeah, let's get Janelle out if she's up. It was just very back and forth. And I couldn't believe Cody was already going to do that move. It was a very big move. But I mean, I was down for it, but I didn't want to admit I was down for it because I felt like I know that you want to do things in there. You want to do big moves, but you know that people are going to be pissed at you. You're going after Janelle and Kacer, like, people don't want to see that, like, but you have to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it really wasn't like, I think even Cody was thinking that maybe he could work with Janelle as well. And it really wasn't until the tail end of that week, which we'll talk about, that she started campaigning for Keisha really hard. That seemed to get more people to turn against her. But in the meantime, you talked to Devon. This was another relationship that you had to sort of manage here. Obviously, she comes into the game. I don't know if you've seen any of the episodes yet, it showed one of your early conversations with Devon, and she was basically like, not going to let her get one over on me this time. Like, go pick a bed, Nicole, because this is not it for you.
Yeah. No, I totally, and I respect that, because I think that, okay, so coming in, I also had the obstacle of people like Devon who wants me out immediately. So how do you get past this? So I have all those obstacles, and then Devon, I knew, and I had to be sincere with an apology, and I was really sorry for everything on 18. And even if things, I felt like things weren't my fault, I was going to take full responsibility and say I'm sorry, and that I just want to be nothing but loyal to you this season. And I meant every word of that. And so I knew the only way for me to even have a chance with playing with her in this game was to be genuine in that and actually mean it. And that's exactly what I did. I brought my heart into this season, and it was really difficult.
Yeah. I came up with a theory, like, you were having a conversation with Cody talking about Devon late in the season and about like the way that she interacts. And Cody was talking about like how Devon loves to try and like guilt trip him. And she loves fact checking. Like those are things that Devon does in the game. And those are tools that she actively talks about using. Like she did talk about, like, I'm trying to guilt trip Cody right now. And one of the, I was thinking about it, and I was like, I think one of the reasons Devon always comes around to trusting Nicole is that Nicole, as you talked about, you do react. Like, you can't help it, but, like, then feel guilty from what she's doing. And so, like, the fact that it works on you makes her feel better about you. And so it kind of, like, helps the relationship along.
That's true. I mean, I guess that's something that I do on accident, that part, like just being reactive. Like, I'm just going to be genuine and feel sad if she's like trying to guilt trip me, I guess, if that's part of her strategy. But yeah, I don't know. I think just with Devon this season, I didn't want to do anything to like hurt her game. And I really meant that. And day one, I ran up to her and I told her that, and I knew it would take probably 3 weeks for that to see if it worked. Mm-hmm. You know, she's going to have to pretend to kind of like trust me for a little bit, but then I think eventually she did.
Yeah, she did. She did. She came around to it. So you then get Danny and Enzo start talking about bringing a group together. They want to make a group of four with you and Cody. And you guys eventually come together. This is going to be the core four, which never made the show, by the way.
Core four was awesome. I don't know how it didn't make the show. Three of us made it to final three.
Yeah. It was all about the committee the whole way through. But the core four was definitely a very important thing, even though there wasn't a lot of trust, mainly because Danny was there, and very early on, Cody did not trust Danny. I mean, in the first conversation you had with Cody, he was like, I don't trust Danny, and you kind of had to stick up for Danny. But the core four, definitely a key component of your game. It seemed like you weren't really, like, your relationship with Enzo was always interesting to me, because it seemed like throughout most of the season, like, you would talk about, like, I'm not really feeling Enzo 100%. And then Cody would be like, no, Enzo's cool. And then Enzo would come to Cody and he'd be like, I'm not feeling Nicole 100%. He'd be like, no, Nicole's cool. And then, like, eventually you kind of got there, but it was never all the way there.
No. With Enzo, it was like, basically, I knew he would do what Cody wanted him to do. Cody told me he had him like in the palm of his hand. And so I trusted that. So Enzo never stressed me out in the game. I left all of that work kind of up to Cody. I knew that just being cool with Enzo, never using Enzo's name, never throwing him under the bus, telling him if I heard anything would be enough to keep Enzo close to me. And then Cody reassuring me that Enzo trusted me was cool, I guess. But Enzo and I never really talked game, but I felt like as long as I had Cody and made Cody feel comfortable, I also had Enzo. Like, Cody had a plus one the entire season.
Mm-hmm. You also start working on Christmas pretty early. And this is a relationship that proves like very valuable at one point in the game and then almost valuable late in the game. But this is one that you this is one where really, I mean, what happened is Tyler came into the game already having something with Christmas. Tyler, you know, We're assuming based on their conversations, Tyler, Josh, Casey, Christmas, we're all planning on coming into the game together. Josh and Casey end up not being there. So Tyler and Christmas are like, well, I guess it's just us two. So they have a secret final two from like day one. It's you. A lot of people fight for Christmas's loyalty because let's face it, Christmas is a nice person to have on your side. And it's ultimately you that pulls Christmas in more than anyone until Memphis gets to her later. But you really, I talked about this when I went over your game, really beat Tyler out in terms of Christmas's loyalty, or so it seems, especially when it comes to her HOA train. But it starts here. Was this like an active idea of yours? Like, hey, I want to work Christmas.
Yeah, when I got into the house and I saw Christmas, I mean, I looked at her in those jeans. She had muscles popping out. I'm like, oh my God, this girl's insane. I need her on my team. And so we hugged and she's like, I've been dying to meet you. And so I think it's just like, it just felt like an instant connection of, okay, this girl, I think that her and I can work together. And I just felt like she was genuine, real, authentic, and I could just build a relationship with her. I think being just like myself, she appreciated that. And I appreciated her like being honest with me. And so that was very easy to do. Getting Christmas on my side was very easy. And then also like even saving Ian that week and things like that. Like if I just drop a little hint here, she would just like kind of pick up on it and do exactly what I needed her to do. But I also, it was just like, I needed her on my team and it was really easy and really good to have her on my team as well. It wasn't like a lot of work that I had to put in as far as that went. It was kind of natural.
Yeah. You had Ian, of course. Your relationship with Ian was could have been valuable to you at some point. It never really turned out to be. Although in the first week you were doing something that I thought was kind of clever, which is that, and I don't know how intentionally you were doing it, but you're kind of like using Ian because a lot of people like Devon, people were approaching you about like, hey, how am I supposed to feel about Ian? Like, I don't know how I feel. And you'd be like, don't worry, I got you with Ian. Kind of like you were getting, you know, you were like doing favors for people on behalf of Ian, which got you the credit for it in a way, right?
Yeah, no, totally. And I think it was like good for people to also think like that I was being, there's so many layers to my game. And this is what it's so hard to talk about because I feel like there's just like, it's more than just like what I say, and it's more of like how I act when I say things, what I do. And so like talking about it, it's just difficult. But as far as like what you're saying with the Ian thing, it also was good strategy for me to act like I had like Ian in my pocket because it would just make people see that I'm being transparent on who I'm working with. Like, hey, I'm not trying to lie. When people lie about who their number one person is, it's so annoying. It's like, oh my God, you're lying. But I'm just like, yeah, me and Ian. And so it worked. And at one point it was definitely, if Ian and I were sitting on the block, I had it so he would have gone home and not me. So I think like, yeah, of course I wanted to work with him, but I also was making sure he stayed a bigger target than I was.
Mm-hmm. And it seemed like ultimately the struggle was in transitioning from that period of time, which was good for you, to then once you guys started rolling, like, okay, now I need to actually like integrate Ian into this bigger group. And it felt like that was a struggle despite 4 Prime eventually forming. It never really came into fruition.
It was really difficult to not only protect myself, but I felt like a lot of weeks I was protecting Ian because he was a winner. He's very good at this game and he wasn't in the committee. And so people, you know, had their sights set on him. Enzo did, Memphis did, Danny and Cody did. It was very hard.
Mm-hmm. Cody, of course, eventually puts up Kevin and Keisha after Kacer wins the safety suite and saves Janelle. Then Enzo's going to win the veto. things are going to be locked up. It's going to be Keisha that goes home. But in the meantime, Memphis is now going to go around approaching people one by one about this idea he has. He wants to call it the unusual suspects at first, but that gets declined. Originally, Bailey was in your place. He approached Danny about that, and she was like, Bailey is with Devon. And he was like, what about maybe David? He seems cool. That didn't pan out very well for him. And then eventually it came around to what about Nicole? That which one? The short one, the with the hair, the blonde Franzel? Yeah, that one.
That's so funny. No, it was. I am thankful that I got a spot in the committee because I think that was pretty big deal in keeping me safe. But I know I wasn't his first choice on who to include. Mm-hmm. So having the relationship with Danny and promising Danny, you know, that final two on day one, I think was really important for my game. And just knowing like that, her letting her know that I had her back, she was going to fight for me to get into that alliance.
Mm-hmm. So you did have a conversation with Cody late in the week where you talked about potential next targets being Nicole Anthony and David as people that might be on the block. Ultimately, those are the people that go on the block, although at that point, it's not what you either of you want. But I think that a lot of people are going to come into this interview thinking, yeah, Nicole was after Janelle right away. You're saying you're not. I think this is some evidence to sort of point to what you're saying as the truth. You did have a conversation with Cody talking about Nicole Anthony and David as potential next nominees. Nicole Anthony was somebody who it seemed like there was a little bit of friction with both you and Danny because of her podcast. That was a bit of a thing.
That's hilarious. Oh my God. No, that's like, it's just, there was a lot going on before the show. And so I knew what was going on. And so I was just like, I'm not doing any podcast. I'm not showing my face because people will know I'm on just by how I act. So I avoided everything.
Mm-hmm. I remember the two of you had a bit of a disagreement about her co-host as well. Yes, that was a bit of a thing. But then this may have been the moment, or it may have been one of the moments. You and Janelle were having a conversation in the bedroom. I don't remember what we called it now. Your bedroom at the time. And she brought up some things that made you upset. And you kind of like got very upset about it. Was this the moment where you were like, all right, I don't know if this is going to work for me?
Was that the moment? I think the moment was after I had a discussion with Nicole on the hammock when she was telling me everything and confirming everything was true. Because for a while I was like, are people just like wanting me to go after her? I mean, hearing from everyone that she's saying my name, she's going around, and like a lot of it was from Danny. And I was like, well, maybe this is like strategy, you know? And then, so I think after the discussion with Nicole, but in the room when she kept like, when she was questioning me about things I didn't want to talk about, I just realized like, I just didn't feel comfortable. You want to work with people that you feel comfortable around, being yourself around, you can in like, that was something that I didn't feel with her. And I've never felt, we've just never clicked. So I think that I just realized like, if she's after me, I'm scared of her. So I better, I guess like it wasn't immediately upon seeing her at all in the house. So it definitely took a little bit, but I think like there was probably four or five things that added up, and that's one of them, but not the main one.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I can imagine like, you know, seeing Devon, you'd also be like nervous, and you'd approach Devon and you'd try to get a feel for like, can I work with Devon? I imagine you'd probably have something similar. Now, I know you did go around to you told Tyler pretty early that that you were concerned about Janelle because you had heard that she was spreading some things about you in the pregame. But I think what you're saying is that you felt like not necessarily like I'm dead set on targeting Janelle, but that like I'm going to feel it out and see if I can work with her. And you eventually kind of decided this isn't going to work.
That's absolutely true. I wasn't immediately going to go after her because I thought that I probably could get along with her more than I could get along with some other people, but I was wrong about that. And like you said, like getting Davon and I coming into that house together, I felt her out. She was very receptive. She responded well. She was like approachable, made me feel comfortable. And that's good game part on Davon's, like, she gave me everything that I needed to be like, I want to keep her around as long as I possibly can. Where Janelle made me feel uncomfortable. I think we went into the, like the love room, I think day, like early on. And I said, hey, I got your back. I sold it so terribly. So it's probably like, I'm pretty much not very good actor, actress, but I was just like, hey, I got your back. Like, I'm not coming after you. And she kept saying like, who is Cody going to put up? And I was like, I don't know. And like playing stupid. And that is when she went to Danny right after that and was like, Nicole's withholding information. And she's, you know, which I was. And so she could read me and she knew that. And so I was just like, all right, you got to go. I tried. I did make an effort. I asked to talk to her. And it was just like sitting there, like no response back. And I had a couple conversations with her about like life. And there was just nothing reciprocated back. Like, do you have a sister? Yeah. Oh, does she look like you? No, she's got brown hair. And like, that was our conversations. Like I had to like pull information out of her, just of like her life. And I was like, this is not going to work. So there's just so much.
Mm-hmm.
Personalities in this experiment called Big Brother, personalities are very important.
I remember you had a lot of conversations, especially with Danny, about like, can I get other people to work on Janelle for, like, can you talk to Janelle for me? Like, can you get her to like me, please? But it didn't seem like it worked very well. So by the end of the week, there's a last minute push here that is kind of it's kind of a silly whole circumstance that Davon hears that Keisha found out that she doesn't have the votes from Christmas, and she was like, why does Christmas know? Christmas shouldn't know. So Davon tells Christmas that she's willing to vote for Keisha to stay, and then Christmas goes to Janelle and she's like, hey, we have the votes if Davon's with us. And Janelle goes to Day, and Day's like, yeah, I'm voting for Keisha to stay. And then Janelle's like, we have the votes then. And she runs around and she's like, let's do this then, because she had given up at that point. And so now Janelle's running around trying to push for Keisha to stay, and Cody's like, why is she doing this? And this is really when Cody turns on Janelle, like, she's really obviously against us if she's gonna push this hard for Janelle or for Keisha to stay. And then of course Keisha is going to be voted out here, leading into a Memphis HOH. So at this point in the game, you're in the committee, you're in the core four, you've got Cody, you've got Danny, you've got Ian, you're a million club with Ian, you're in with Davon. By the end of this week, she's talking to the camera saying that you are one of her priorities in the game. And you're starting to work on Christmas as well. Do you have like an overarching game plan from this point?
At this point, I was four people's number one. So I felt so safe. I had the committee, and I think people thought that I was kind of weak and small, and I was going to play that off. This was the first time that I played this game where I felt like, wow, I don't really need to. I mean, obviously I was scared of Janelle and Kacer at this point, but I felt like the numbers were definitely on my side. And so at this point I was just like, I've never had so many number ones. Like, I don't know what to do with all these people. I usually just play with one other person and just like tackle it, but it was like, holy crap. And so I just, at this point, maintaining the relationships, keeping my mouth shut was really important. Everyone was running around telling everybody everything. And that was a struggle I had as well, which we can get into later, where like Danny would run and tell Cody something immediately, and then Cody be mad at me for not telling him. And so it was a little bit of a learning curve for me. I usually don't tell someone something unless it's pertinent on their game or super crucial. Like, I don't want people to be able to fact check and get me in trouble. And so I had to, at first, I'm keeping my mouth shut and just seeing who I can still trust moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And that's definitely like a part of your game that I think you you really were, there were a few moments in the game where like you got caught in like little lies. Like Danny caught you about saying something about Cody to Tyler or something like that. And then there was a moment with you and Cody later on that you were like, you had said something and then he had accidentally said the opposite thing. And like, you guys were, it was like, that wasn't even like a big deal at all, but like, you guys were like on top of it, trying to figure out like, what do we do about this just in case?
The smallest thing, I had to cover my back on these smallest things in this house. Like, it was way more in depth than any of my previous seasons.
Mm-hmm. This is of course the week where Christmas is going to save Ian with the safety suite. Can you elaborate on how exactly this happened?
So this is just kind of like, it's all such a, everything's such a blur, but I remember talking to Christmas. I felt really good with Ian, obviously. Christmas felt really good with Ian. She felt really good with me, which means she felt really good with Ian. I was explaining to her how we have Ian on our side. I think we're sitting upstairs on like that loft area, and how like I have Ian on my side, and I'm afraid that Memphis is going to possibly go after Ian, and that would be bad for our game. And so just kind of putting that little bit in her ear about if you win safety suite, you don't want to save anyone from the committee, right? Because you'll look guilty. And so, like, how would it be if you saved Ian? You know, like, but don't it, like, you know, just playing, like, I don't know. And then her and Ian have a discussion in the bathroom later on about that. And it kind of just literally during the competition. So, like, Ian already went, and then they were talking after Ian, like, did the competition, and then before Christmas went, and like, it's, I see it, I'm sitting on the couch and it's like evolving. I'm like, oh my God, like this could actually happen. And then Ian thinks that he did it, which is amazing, because the last thing I want Christmas to go say is to Memphis is, Nicole made me do it. She convinced me, and then all trust is lost. So I'm very good at planting seeds and letting other people take the credit. Even on TV, I don't give a crap as long as the outcome is what I want. Take whatever you want. Just let it happen.
Yeah. This was pretty important too, because Memphis probably would have backdoored Ian this week, if not for being saved. We can't say for sure, but he definitely wanted to. And it's also funny because Christmas had no idea that that was even remotely in play. So like, Christmas comes in after winning the safety suite and saving Ian, and she comes into the HOH and she comes up to Memphis. She's like, I did it. Like, I won. And she wants to give him a hug. And he's just like, yeah, you did it. Uh-huh.
And I remember, like, I told her, like, don't ask Memphis for permission. Like, if you're going to do it, just do it. Whatever you do, don't ask for permission, because I knew he'd say no. And then Danny and Cody were really mad at me too. Like, we know you had something to do with that. I was like, I swear I had nothing to do with it. Like, I don't. And then so it was just a freaking mess, but it was perfect. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Memphis had no choice to really but forgive us, I guess, if he's blaming me too, because we're in his alliance, and like, he didn't tell us who to save.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he eventually is going to nominate David and Nicole Anthony. This is a bit of a blindside to Janelle and Kacer, who at this point still think that Memphis is on their side. They've been coming up with this theory that you, Tyler, Cody, and Danny are in a four-person alliance. They've swapped Enzo with Tyler. And so they go up to the HOH room and they do a hard sell on Memphis. Why did you put up Nicole, Anthony, and David? We need to backdoor Nicole Franzl. That she needs to go. Kacer says, look, every season in a big alliance forms early. They control the lines of communication. They dominate the season. We need to stop that right now. And Memphis is like, I disagree, because I'm in it.
That's amazing. Like, it's amazing, because I was so close to not getting a spot, and Memphis absolutely would have put me up. So that was so important for my game. But also the fact that Memphis did a good job of making them feel comfortable, like giving him all that information, that's pretty good too. So yeah, because he immediately came and told me they want, that was the moment. He came and told me they want me to backdoor you. And I'm like, okay, like, this is really bad. They're really after me. And I was scared. I remember on the show, I was scared, like, he could backdoor me. And I really wanted to play in that veto, and I didn't. It was really hard, and I sucked, but whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I remember at the time feeling like commending the fact that, you know, you it was out there that people were trying to get you backdoored, but you did keep your calm in the house. And you had a bunch of people telling you, like, hey, like even Kevin came up to you and was like, hey, I heard that, that there's a backdoor plan for you. And you were just like, well, thank you for telling me. Other people have told me this too. And I really appreciate it. It makes me trust you that you've told me this.
Yeah, no, and I think, I don't know how I kept my cool, but I think there was nothing else. You go in survival mode. There's no other way to really react, because if you react like really bad, then you could go up. And so I think I was really scared. But it felt really good that I had like 8 people come and tell me. I was like, this is awesome. Because normally people are whispering behind your back. So I felt like I was doing really good, playing a good social game at that point.
Yeah. And talking about Christmas, after Christmas Saves Ian, Tyler actually talked to the cameras, I think that night. And he was like, why did she save Ian? Like, I need to like stay on top of her more. I don't want her to fall. Like, I don't want her to fall under Nicole's spell. He should have.
Awesome. I love that. I haven't watched it, or I haven't got to like hear this cool stuff. And so I love that, because she did fall under my spell.
So this is, at this point, Nicole Anthony is going to come under the misunderstanding that that it was Janelle and Kacer that set her up. Everyone is going to encourage this misunderstanding, because why not? And this is when Nicole Anthony tells you all of the dirt that she has on Janelle.
Yes, and that is when I knew Janelle has to go. This is the point, the back door. That's when you asked me the moment when Memphis told me she was trying to get me backdoored, and then when Nicole Anthony told me and confirmed everything, I believe Nicole Anthony. She had no reason to lie. So that's when I felt like, okay, I'll go after her now.
Danny is also going to tell you about an idea she has. She wants to propose a fake deal to Janelle, because now that Janelle sees, you know, 3 of the 4 of the core 4 as an enemy, she wants to make a deal with her to see if that she can get that to go away. And you were like, I don't think that's a good idea. And she did it anyway. And it wasn't a good idea.
I came back to, I actually know what that did. That showed Danny that she couldn't trust Janelle, because Danny, I think, came in with the whole idea of, I want to keep Janelle to at least halfway, and no one can touch Janelle until halfway, because she's just like a big character on the show. Like, she was scared. I think, like, she said something about like twists and stuff to help save her. So she just like wanted to keep her name out of her mouth. And I'm just like, okay, whatever. So anyways, she said, where was I with this whole thing with, oh, and when she went to go do that to Janelle, Janelle repeated that information to other people, and that's what got Danny on board with getting Janelle out. So there was a benefit to it.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, she did not do a very good job of keeping people off of Janelle, because she was like the main source of information against Janelle.
That's hilarious. See, I didn't know that.
So, part of this, you know, Danny offering a deal to Janelle, Janelle immediately, of course, tells Bailey, and then that gets to Devon. And now they feel like they're at this point, Bailey and Devon, I don't know how much about this, you know, but they're in an alliance with Cody and Enzo called the Connect Four. Yes. Yeah, so there was the Core Four and there was the Connect Four, and they were like 2 separate brigades that were like overlapping Venn diagrams. And so they felt like, oh, crap, if Danny's proposing an alliance to Janelle that includes Cody and Nicole and whatever, then that must be the real alliance and we're in the fake alliance. And so they start to feel like they're on the outs, and they start questioning you. They start questioning Cody, and Cody does not appreciate the fact that they're questioning things. And he's also concerned about the fact that, like, if Janelle's targeting them, why hasn't Bailey given him the heads up? Because he's in alliance with Bailey, and Bailey's supposed to be keeping an eye on Janelle, and she didn't tell him anything. So this is when things really start to unravel with Bailey and Devon and the rest of the group. Although toward the end of the week, Slick Six is going to come into play, which somehow you got left out of when really, like, I mean, you basically were in it.
Yeah, and I knew about it, I think, like, the day of, but it was great information for me. And I literally never told one person that wasn't in the Slick Six about the Slick Six. That's what I mean. I can hold a really good secret, and it was never to my benefit to expose that. But I went to Cody and I was just like, you didn't tell me. And then that caused a little bit of distrust between him and Danny. And that also, it just showed him, like, hey, if you're supposed to be my number one, you need to start telling me stuff.
This is also, Janelle and Case are going to start working on Ian this week, a lot, to try and pull him in. Janelle tries first, and, she's like, hey, you need to work with us. And he's like, well, how do you feel about Nicole? It's like, look, we can't work with Nicole. We can't trust Nicole. He's like, that's not going to work for me. And he's just like, just flat out turns her down. And then Kacer tries later, and he's like, there is a brigade happening and you are on the outs. And that's when Ian starts to feel like, well, am I the Brittany? And then he goes to you and he's like, don't Brittany me, or don't Lane me, or whatever it was that he said. But then he eventually, like, you know what? They did bring Brittany to the final, you know, four, right? So, maybe it's not so bad.
Yeah, and I think, like, during all of that, I wanted him to do what he thought was best for his game. I was totally fine playing separate games, but always having each other's back. So if he would have worked with them and got information from them, that would have been perfect. He's just so loyal that I don't think, like, he would rather turn down an alliance and be honest than take it and, like, break it, I guess. So that's really interesting. I didn't know that, that he literally turned them down. Mm-hmm. So that means that our bond was really close and, really genuine. And so that's awesome as well. But he did start to, he started to get a little bit worried about the whole, yeah, what you said, the whole situation.
Yeah. There was, people were yelling, I think. Yeah. You eventually, this eventually spirals into, you go to Cody, you're like, look, we need to pull Ian in something. He's talking about being a Brittany, and that's when 4 Prime happens, but it never really has much impact.
Because Cody and Danny didn't trust Ian. And you know what? I think they saw him as a threat because I was closer to him. And I realized really early on that Danny and Cody wanted to cut anyone I was really close with. They didn't like Christmas and they didn't like Ian. And those were two people that I trusted and that I was their number one. And so that was really alarming for me. And I knew that they were trying to control the game, but I was just going to let them do their thing until I felt like I needed to step in.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, I stuck up for Ian a lot and that caused Cody to want him out even more, which, you know, it was so hard. It was so hard to hide how close I couldn't hide how close Ian and I were. And so I had to admit to it. But then Cody was like, okay, we got to get rid of Ian and Danny. And then they went behind my back and I knew they did.
Well, something that you talked about toward the end of the game was that you were throwing some competitions, not necessarily all of them. How many competitions were you throwing? Because I know at the time you were at least expressing to other people that you were kind of frustrated that you weren't winning. And I do think that it seemed like the fact that you weren't winning was one of the reasons why you weren't able to get enough traction to sort of keep your people in instead of the other people.
I threw a lot of competitions. I can't, if you gave me a list, I can go through and tell you which ones I threw and which ones I didn't. But a lot. Like, I'm not joking. I threw a lot. And so when I lost Ian, though, that was to Danny. And so I was like, okay, this is going to be fine. And then during the triple, I think I was all over the place. So that's when I started to really I didn't try in competitions until after the triple.
Mm-hmm.
Even the first triple I threw.
Yeah.
That's how confident I was. Disgustingly confident, and it almost bit me in the butt.
It really almost did.
Oh my God. I was like, Oh, I'm throwing these. And Cody knew I threw it because we literally studied those questions.
I mean, I will tell you, and we'll, I'm sure we'll get to it, but Enzo was like very ready to get you out like a week before the triple. It wasn't until like shortly, like maybe a little bit longer, like Cody had actually put in some work with him to make sure that wouldn't happen. But prior to that, he was with Tyler in terms of like, let's get both Nicole and Danny out for a while. So it was close.
Thank goodness. You cannot win this game. I didn't win, but you cannot play this game alone.
Yeah.
You need to have really good soldiers next to you. And I had the best. I had Danny and I had Cody, and they were going to bat for me. And Ian, it wasn't something I was very picky on who in Christmas, I was very picky on who I surrounded myself with in this game.
Mm-hmm. So Tyler wins the next HOH. You were the one who initially came up with the argument, at least from what I saw, that Nicole Anthony should be the one to go over David because she's the only one that hasn't played in the safety suite left in the game. Right. And that's one of the major sticking points that stays through the rest of the week that makes sure that she goes home this week. You mentioned, hey, Janelle's going to win like an America's Vote. She's going to win like a buyback. Like, that's why she should be the one to go over Kacer. That's, again, going to be like the sticking logic here to keep Janelle as the target. Not that necessarily she wouldn't have been anyway, but that's definitely one of the factors here.
Yeah, I guess I had to say and do whatever I felt like I needed to do in order to get these people out of the house. I'd come up with logical reasons. So what you do is you go up to somebody that you know. So for Memphis was really big on the safety suite. So I brought up that about Nicole. Danny was really big about America's Vote, and like that would really, I know, get her going. And so I would mention that to her, and you mention it to people that have bigger mouths and will spread it and they will fight for it. And so it was very easy, and I did it kind of like flawlessly without ever even, everything was happening exactly how I wanted it to happen, and without me even being in any fights or anybody knowing how I felt. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you got to come up with points that are make sense, not just, oh, I don't like that person.
Yes. All right. Well, this is when things take a bit of a weird turn. You and Devon are having you're joking around about David that he might have a crush on Devon. And Bailey is not a fan of this. She makes a comment to you that actually wasn't as catchy as it ultimately turned out to be. I believe the initial one was a few times and a few boys, but it became a couple tries, a couple guys. This seems to turn into a thing where, you were upset by this, and then Devon went to Bailey. She's like, Nicole's upset by this. And Bailey was like, why is this my fault? And it seemed like this became a bit of a rift here, and this helps you actually bond with Christmas because you're going to talk to Christmas about this. And it seems like from this point forward, you seem to be putting a target on Bailey.
Yeah. And honestly, I had a target on Bailey before this because she was really close with Janelle. And so I knew that the only people, I've never talked to Bailey before in my entire life, and she was close to Janelle. And so I felt like she would feel however Janelle feels and do what Janelle wants to do. So that was something that I always had in the back of my mind of, okay, she's probably going to do whatever Janelle wants. Even if Janelle leaves, she's going to do what Janelle wanted her to do. And then when this whole situation happened, I realized if she thinks that I'm the player that will purposely put a target on Devon's back and think this is funny, then that's not something someone I can ever work with. She obviously thinks that's, she's never going to trust me. If she thinks my motive here, me and Devon were playing around. Like, it wasn't something I even told anyone until the end of the game. It wasn't strategy at all. It was me bonding with Devon. And Devon knew that as well. But yeah, I ended up having to go apologize to Bailey about it. And I think that she thought that that was why she went home, but it was definitely showed me that she didn't trust me. And if that's how she felt that I played this game, I can't trust her.
Mm-hmm. So you talked to Christmas about this, and this is again, sort of, at this point in time, Tyler is starting to plant seeds against Danny. Danny's been planting seeds against Tyler. And so Tyler's getting into the heads of Enzo and David and Christmas about Danny. And he's trying to get Christmas to target Danny. And in the meantime, you are getting in Christmas's ear about targeting Bailey. And so, you know, ultimately we see who wins that battle. You have a conversation with Christmas. Christmas at first really would like for Devon to go. And you seem to fight back, and you eventually convince her that Bailey is the right choice. Can you just explain, like, how did you do this with Christmas?
Let me see. I can't remember. Like, I remember, I don't remember exactly what I said that convinced her to change her mind, but I know she absolutely changed her mind. And I think it had to do with, I don't know the right answer to that. I don't know how I did it or how she was convinced or had. I don't know if it was just me or if there was someone else in her ear, but I couldn't even tell you what I think she just knew that situation. But I don't know. There had to be something strategic. Oh, maybe I used the challenge and her winning a bunch of things on the challenge, or I'm not sure. You know, that's a really good question. I would have to think, and I would honestly have to ask Christmas.
It really was. I mean, so there was a conversation between the two of you. You said Bailey. She said Devon. And then she talked to Tyler about, like, Bailey and Devon, I think. And Tyler was like, what about Danny? And then, like, a few days later, she talked to him again, and he was like, okay, well, fine. If it's Bailey and Devon, they both need to be on the block because we can't just vote one of them off. And I would prefer that Bailey stays. But then she goes to you and she says, look, Bailey talked to me about potentially targeting Cody, taking big shots at big targets, because she had a good relationship with Bailey, and Bailey felt like she could trust Christmas. And then from that point, it seemed like she just started to flip more and more against Bailey in particular. Then, of course, you told Cody about Bailey talking about him.
For anybody's game. So, like, to get Janelle out of the house, it was only good for like three people's game, and getting Bailey out of the house was only good for like three people's game. So both times the house made the wrong choice.
Mm-hmm. This you then, of course, make a final two with Christmas. This is when you talk about, like, Christmas is number one, Ian's number one, Cody's number one, Danny's number one. You were right about Ian. You were, I think, close to it with Cody, close to it with Danny, and close to it with Christmas. They also had other number ones, but, either way, still in a pretty good spot here. You are talking about how you talk to Ian about targeting Bailey, and Janelle is still talking about targeting you. And then Danny tells you that Ian has to go soon.
Okay.
This felt to me like it was one of the turning points with you and Danny, where Danny felt like Danny kept talking about, like, Ian, he's got to go eventually, right? Right, Nicole. And Danny talked about this on the show. She was like, "What I do is I plant seeds." And then I watch them grow. And everyone was like, "Yeah, we see what you're doing."
Well, what week is this? I know
this
I didn't,
week,
wasn't
week three, and then week four is when I believe you have a conversation with Cody about it.
Yeah, I think at first I never wanted Ian to leave, but I soon realized that me fighting it only made me look worse. And, like, if I said something to Danny that she didn't want to hear, she didn't respond well to that. So I had to, like, always feed her what she wanted to hear eventually. And I don't think that she ever believed that I really wanted Ian to go, because I didn't. And so, but yeah, I tried to tell her what I thought she wanted to hear. That was what I had to do in the game.
Mm-hmm. So Enzo wins the next HOH. Things are going pretty smoothly. Janelle has gone home. Kacer's going to be going home this week. And this is when you know, people start yelling. And all of a sudden, people are like, what? Cody and Nicole are playing everyone? Where did that come from? How did this... what was your reaction to this?
It was terrible, but... I think I played it off extremely well. At first I was upset and I tried to just play the card of like, it's Janelle's fans. They hate me, which I was right about that.
it's funny. I had that written down.
And so I played that card and how popular she is and like that it doesn't make any sense and how there must've been two other names. Like I tried to convince Ian's like, I think I heard some other names and I was like, oh my gosh, it was probably like you and Danny. And then I told Enzo, like, it was probably you and Danny. Like, why would it just be me and Cody? It makes no sense. And then me and Cody couldn't even talk for, like, the first half of the game. It was so insane. We couldn't, like, be by each other because everyone was putting us together. But I had to react as best as I could. And it was – I think I reacted a little bit better than Cody was more upset. He went in there and yelled and stuff. But I felt like I could recover.
Mm-hmm. It really didn't seem to have too much impact. Most people are like, we don't really care. And I think that's in part due to the work that you had done keeping distant with each other up until that point. And really from the perspective of watching as well, like it didn't seem like the relationship between the two of you really started to blossom until a little bit later. In fact, when this happened, I was like, why are they saying it's Nicole and Cody? It's Enzo and Cody. Like, why are they... this is also when Danny's going to accidentally reveal that you know about the Slick Six in front of Tyler, which is going to be very bad for you, actually, in particular, because this is when Tyler goes, oh, it's not just Danny, it's Danny and Nicole that we need out, which is eventually going to come back to bite you. And then we see that eventually Ian is going to start to have some revelations, and he starts to think that there's an octopus in the house. It's like an octopus. It's got tentacles, there's two people at the head of it. It's Cody and Nicole, and they've got different tentacles fighting each other. And he pitches this idea to Kevin, and he pitches it to Bailey, and he does say that he's not going to go against you. He's going to try and get out Cody. And prior to this, he was talking to the cameras before he came up with this revelation. He was planning on going to you to the final three, and then he wanted to cut you for like Enzo or Memphis or something at the final three. But at this point, he's like, okay, this is a big group. We got to do something about it. Ultimately, this isn't really going to go anywhere either because it gets found out. Bailey tells Tyler and Enzo, who tell Cody, who tells you. At which point you say, ultimate betrayal.
Well, okay, so let's go back to the yelling thing. That is the only reason that Ian came to this conclusion. And I've heard that from Ian. Mm-hmm. So that screwed up my relationship with Ian. That whatever that was, he didn't trust me. I got it back. Yes, did I get it back? Yes. Was it hard? Yes. So, okay, now forward to... Ian did that and I understand where he's coming from. You don't hear a lot in the house. So when you do hear something, it's like, oh my gosh, you like kind of obsess over it. And so he didn't trust me. And I understand that. And I was really felt betrayed because I felt like I was protecting him and myself for so long. And so at that point is when I started to, you know, let him go a little bit.
Mm-hmm. This was ultimately probably worse for Ian's game than anybody's, because it was a lot of evidence for Danny and Cody to be like, well, we definitely don't have a reason to keep him around if he's going to do this kind of stuff. Christmas is going to win the next HOH, and this is when all of your work with Christmas is really going to come into play, because if Tyler and Enzo had their way, it would be you and Danny on the block. And Christmas was okay, at least with putting Danny on the block. And Danny leaving at this point wouldn't have been great for you, especially because Bailey wanted to target you still. But it's ultimately you that wins out here, and Christmas is going to target Bailey and Devon.
Yeah, and I think it was, that's a crazy that Tyler, I didn't know Tyler and Enzo wanted me on the block. I never trusted Tyler, and it just goes to show good thing I didn't. Like, I felt it in my gut. I just looked him in the eyes and I just knew. It's crazy. But I thought I was in a lot better position than I actually was then if they were targeting me. But it all worked out. And yeah, Christmas was someone that I felt was very straight up and honest with me. But this is when it all started to change with the whole backdooring Tyler thing. And I saw that there were, I saw that there were beers in Christmas's trap. And that's when I knew they're a lot closer than I thought they were. Mm-hmm. A different strategy, checking the trash bin. But I mean, you don't share a beer. You only get so many beers when you're HOH. If you're sharing them with somebody, it's a big deal.
Yeah. And so there's been this whole sort of like secret sort of war between Tyler and Cody that's very civil, where they're just warring over Enzo's loyalty essentially, and like who Enzo is targeting. So Tyler's been really pushing Enzo to target you and Danny, and Cody's gonna kind of been like, yeah, but what about like Devon first? What about Bailey? And Enzo at this point is like fully with Tyler, and this is when Cody's Nicole. They're after Danny. We might need to let it happen. And it's really, he's in full damage control at this point. This is probably like his lowest point in the game in terms of like, cause he had, you know, everything pretty locked in most of the time. But this Christmas HOH still seems to go pretty well because, you're not being targeted, and Tyler is going to get outed after trying to or before trying to quit the game. He gets outed. Danny finds out. Cody has to do damage control. You're in the clear. And you're just like, this is, people are mad at people and it's not me.
Yeah, definitely. Just lay low at this point. And just try to be a good friend to those who need you and be an ear for someone to vent to. And that's what I did for, because I knew about that and I didn't tell Danny, but then Cody told me it was just a mess. But at the same time, it was perfect for me because, yeah, like you said, the spotlight was off me.
So there was a plan to talk to Christmas to try to get her to backdoor Tyler. You talked to Christmas about it. And did you actually want Tyler to be backdoored? Because you backed away from it pretty quickly, but I wasn't sure if that was because you knew she didn't really want to or if you actually didn't really want that to happen.
I actually really didn't want that to happen at that point. I could read her body language and I knew she wasn't into it. So showing me backing off and just being like, I don't want that to happen. Going to be the first one to tell her that Danny and Devon were saying that. That was what I was kind of trying to do, is just like show her she can trust me, show her loyalty. And then I really didn't want that to happen at that point because I thought, I knew Bailey was after me, and I didn't know that Tyler was after me as much. I thought he was more after Danny. So I thought if we were both on the block, I would stay.
You would have stayed against Danny. He was definitely much more after Danny. And there's a decent chance that if Danny leaves, then you would have been like, do we really need to finish the shot here and get out Nicole as well? But it would have been dangerous as it was.
Yeah, I think reading people's body language when you present them with an idea is really important. And I learned Christmas really well, really fast. And I think that was a really good benefit. I have a lot of emotional intelligence, and it's very helpful in this game. Like, I think when I just talk to people and I just know in my gut, I guess. And I don't, Okay. It's kind of crazy, but I
saw the conversation you had with David about this.
I think I just have a lot of emotional intelligence. And so that helps me a lot, like in instance like that. Cause if something that some people do in this game, for instance, maybe Danny would like push for something when someone doesn't want it. Like I'm very visibly like uncomfortable. I don't want Ian to leave, but she'll keep pushing and then it'll make me push away. Whereas I'm pretty good at reading like, oh, you don't want this. Well, neither do I. Neither do I. It was their idea. I think it's stupid. Like, and I think I'm good at doing that.
So at this point, the personal game information fight happens. And this is when you and Danny kind of talk about like, what is Christmas doing? Like, and Danny's like, we should back away. We should not tell Christmas anything anymore. And this seems to be kind of the moment where, your influence over Christmas starts to wane. And this is really, you know, Memphis really picks up the reins on that one.
Yeah, I didn't see like any of the fight or anything. And then when Danny came to me and she's like, it's really terrible. Like, stay away from Christmas. It's really bad. I was just like, oh my God, what do I do? I backed off a little bit. I just was like, you know, I still wanted Davon's trust and I still wanted Bailey to go home, and I wanted to be close to Christmas, but I knew like it wasn't going to be good for me, I guess. I knew at that point Danny didn't want me to, so I needed to try to keep Christmas close, but not close enough to where Danny would get upset with me. And then, yeah, Memphis definitely came in at that point.
Mm-hmm. And this is also the very short-lived blitzing bombshells or bombers or whatever it was. All Women's Alliance gets created and then broken in like 5 minutes. And Danny is going to tell Cody about it before you do, and then you ultimately have a conversation late in the week with Cody, and this is a long conversation. I think it's Thursday morning, where it really like breaks open this sort of like thing that you have with Danny.
Totally. At that point, I knew a lot of things that she was doing, and I did think that I was her number one, and for a long time, I felt like I didn't know who to choose, Cody or Danny, if it got down to, you know, final three, which one's my, you know, ride or die. And at that point, Cody did a very good job of giving me that information, and it made me not trust Danny. And I knew a lot of it was true. And the fact that she immediately ran to him and told him about that Girls Alliance, just kind of, there was no need for that. Cause it wasn't even like a big deal, because it wasn't like really important. Cause it wasn't happening. All the girls, I guess, told right away. And I think I was the last one to get that information. So, yeah, that's just how I had to play. And then once I realized that, I was like, oh my God, I got to tell Cody everything within 5 minutes. Otherwise he's going to find Danny to be more valuable than me.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, trust was broken at that point for sure.
Yeah. So Bailey's evicted. This is when you throw the HOH to Danny. Do you regret throwing this HOH? Cause this is really the week where everything starts to unravel for you, it seems.
As far as a game point go, game, I don't think winning that would have been good for me. I would have had to put up four people as well. Mm-hmm. Would Ian have gone home? No, but I would have put up a committee member, and that wouldn't have been good for my game.
Who do you think? So let's say you put up David and Kevin. David takes himself down with the disruptor. Who do you put up as the replacement? Right at that point, it's probably Day, right? Or is it?
I think I would have put up Memphis. I think I would have just friggin' did it. I would have just said, whatever. Like, I would have tried to convince him to be okay with it. Like, Dan put him on the block. I would have maybe went that angle. Like, I was thinking that that's what I would have done. But, yeah, I would have blew up the Alliance for sure. Well,
so then Zenday wins the veto, uses it on Kevin. Who now goes up next to Memphis? And who is the target, do you think?
I think I would have put up Tyler, and I don't really care which one of them would have went home.
Tyler probably goes home, I think.
Yeah, because either one of them going home, that's who I was going after in the triple. So those were the only people I was really targeting after that point. Everyone else I felt pretty good with.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. It's like, who do I target? It would have been them two for sure.
That wouldn't have been too bad. I mean, Tyler going home wouldn't have been that bad for you at that point, I don't think.
Oh, so now, like, could I have, wish I would have done that? Yeah, I totally could have won that HOH, but it was terrible watching Ian go home on Danny. That was the worst week ever. And yes, what you're saying is, if I could avoid that week and everything that came after that, absolutely. When make me put four people on the block, I don't care. Like, I would have put up two strong males and one of them would have went home and they would have been in my alliance. It would have been awesome.
I think it was the right call in the moment, though. Like, you know, you're looking at Cody and Danny. You have no reason to believe that they're going to take out Ian at that point. They had no intention of taking out Ian at that point. And so, like, giving it to them at that point isn't that bad. They're probably just going to take out David or Kevin. And you get to continue to, you know, not have won anything, which eventually proves pretty valuable for you. So
I wanted to go the whole season without winning a comp and sit in the final two chairs. That's literally like, I was like, this would be so amazing. Like, but then I realized I can't do it when it got down to I needed to start winning things. But I was like, this is really cool if I get there without winning a comp and I'm a previous winner.
So eventually, of course, what happens is that David and Kevin go on the block. Tyler is the replacement. Then Davon wins the veto. And at this point, Danny is still saying, no chance I'm putting up Ian. Like, it's not going to happen. And Cody is going to spend multiple late nights, just hours at a time, convincing her Ian is the right move to make. You eventually find out that Ian is the move. And that's when you're like, this is dumb. Not going to let this happen. We should convince Davon not to use the veto. If not, then we need to get, somebody else on the block. If not that, then we got to get Tyler out of the game. But none of these, plans work out for you.
No. And I knew that Cody and Danny were spending like lots of long hours at night together. And I honestly thought that it was just like, she was bored and she wanted to hang out with him. Like, I didn't realize that he was like putting Ian in her ear. And I think that had I known that, I obviously would have done something. But let's just say, as far as game goes, Danny didn't listen to me. Mm-hmm. She didn't listen to me at all. She only listened to Cody. So there is nothing that I could have said to change her mind. And I know that no matter how many late nights I spent with her, she absolutely would not have listened to me. I could go tell her something and she'd be like, no, that's ridiculous. And then Cody could come in 5 minutes later and she believed it. And it was something that it irritated me because I felt like I was approaching it right. I was very not pushy with everything. And eventually it's just like, I went through Cody to get to Danny. That's what I had to end up doing. Like, tell Cody to do something, tell Danny something so that way she'd do it. Cause otherwise it wasn't happening. I don't know what the switch was or why she didn't. I even told her, like, don't be everyone's best friend. Like, that doesn't look good. And that's what she did. And it didn't work. So anyways, that was frustrating for me to know that they sat up and got Ian on the block, because then Cody obviously lied to me about it. And I knew. And it was just like, I knew at that point I'm in trouble. They have each other. They're way closer than I am with them at this point.
There's a conversation that you have with Cody that's pretty interesting in hindsight, I think, that you're like, tell me again why it is that Ian has to go. And he says, it's about the numbers. You have to look at the big picture. We remain insulated. We keep the committee together. And you say, but why are we keeping Tyler's going to come for me at like final seven? And he says, well, yeah, he'll try, but he won't have the votes because of how we're set up. This is the setup that we can't blow up right now. And that's like almost exactly what happens. Tyler comes for you at final eight and he doesn't have the numbers.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. It sucked that Ian went home and it wasn't good for my game, but then I just had to do what I had to do to recover. Like, there was nothing pushing it anymore. I was ruining my game at that point.
Yeah. This was a very bad week for you because you were spending a lot of time trying to keep Ian around, pushing really hard. It was damaging your relationships with the members of the committee. And this was like a turning point. Memphis is starting to build up his wise guys thing. Tyler and is, you know, clinging to life in the game, but still trying to get Enzo to go against Danny. And you kind of get left out of some of the like future end game plans that a lot of these people have, cause you're busy doing this other stuff and you're losing your like insurance. So it's not great. You eventually come up with a plan to frame David for your vote in order to sort of get out of this sticky situation you're in, where they're requiring that you vote Ian out because there can't be a tie and Danny doesn't want to break the tie. Can you tell me about the thought process that went into this plan?
So I really wanted to vote for Ian to stay. I wanted it to just be 7-1. I didn't care. And Danny would, I'm sure you saw on live feeds, Danny was just like, you can't do this. You cannot vote to keep Ian. No matter what, you can't. Like, I will be so mad at you. It could be 4-4. Don't make me do this. And it was like very, everything. And then Cody was like, didn't care where his vote looked like it went. And for me, Ian told me, you cannot vote me out. I don't care if it's 7-1, like you have to vote to. And I was like, okay, at this point, my game has blown up over. It's blown up. Me and Cody saying our names together has been a common theme. Kacer blew it up because Ian heard that thing and da da da. So I was like, okay, I cannot have Ian walk out the door and say Nicole and Cody again, like Nicole, Cody and Danny are working together. So I was like, how do I either vote to keep him or how do I hide it? So that morning, it was going to end up probably being unanimous. And then that morning, Ian said that he had David's vote. And I was like, oh, wow. So then Danny and I, and it was this big plan of like, let's convince them to vote and hide the vote. And they don't trust David already because he lied about having that power. And so it was a perfect, like, in the game aspect, it was perfect and it was flawless. It was to where Davon trusted me so much the next week, she picked me for house guest choice. I was in the best position. It was my way out. Did it feel good? No. Did it feel good lying? No. Was it a great game move? It was flawless. There, it was, oh my God, like, so good. And so that's what I had to do. Ian was satisfied. He had the 3 votes he thought he had as he walked out the door. And then inside the house, I just had to keep lying. And that was really difficult. Really difficult for me because the season was, I've told you, I brought my heart in and it wasn't easy to play.
Did you think about like the jury management aspect of the move, even though it plays out, you know, very well in the game? Obviously, Ian and Davon are going to find out about the truth once they're in the jury. Did you worry that that would impact their votes?
No, because I see like people online say something about my goodbye message. So we have 45 seconds for a goodbye message. They obviously don't show 45 seconds on the show per person. Mm-hmm. I don't. So in my goodbye message, I told Ian the truth. And I told everyone that left, I told them the truth on as far as where my vote went or if I was sad about it, I was truthful. I wasn't going to be like, yeah, I did this in haha. It was like, no, this was really hard for me. It was a great game, but it was really hard for me. So no, I thought that just being honest in my goodbye messages, which I'm really curious, what was Ian's goodbye message? Because people say that like you didn't tell him or something.
I feel like you told him about like that you were working with a bigger group and that you had to do what you had to do. That was what was on the show, at least, I think. Yeah. So, Tyler was getting like the detailed, like, this was the committee and it was these people on the show.
Okay, because I didn't do that because I didn't know if there was a buyback or anything like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I guess I didn't name specific names, and they also said that they didn't know if I was allowed to name specific names because you weren't supposed to be allowed to ruin other people's games or speak for someone else. Like, I couldn't say it's this person's fault. Don't trust this person. This person's terrible. Like, you weren't supposed to be able to influence jury votes by using other people's names. So I tried to respect that as much as I could.
Okay. So Memphis wins the next HOH. Davon and Kevin buy the plan hook, line, and sinker. They think that David is the one that flipped on them. Memphis does nominate Kevin and Davon. The plan is to backdoor David, but Cody and Tyler talk, and they're like, no, we don't want that. Tyler wins the veto. He prevents David from being backdoored. And this is when Cody tells you about the wise guys, which was made earlier in the week. But he tells you pretty quickly about the wise guys. He only knows about one of them, though, at this point. He knows about him, Enzo, and Memphis. He does not know yet about Christmas and her wise guy role either. And it really feels like once Ian leaves, Cody starts telling you more information. Like Cody starts really pulling you in. He starts like I said, Enzo has been after you for a while. Once Ian leaves, Cody starts to work on Enzo a lot harder to be like, not Nicole. Nicole's a good one. And Enzo starts to be like, yeah, Nicole, we can rely on Nicole, yo. She's the reliable one. And so in that regard, like basically how I saw this is that you were doing very well up until the week Ian leaves. And then Cody kind of like forces you into a corner and you have to pivot and kind of like you're kind of forced to play Cody's game, but you still kind of play it in a way where you were very safe and you were able to get to the end. And that was like sort of your only path from that point, 'cause he had isolated you from your other allies.
Yeah. I felt like at that point I didn't have any other choice, and Cody was a great ally because he was winning competitions and he was close with Enzo. So that was fine. But I had to do, I guess like me lying and not telling the truth about that vote too. I was protecting Cody and Danny because that's what I thought I had to do in order to stay in the house.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know about this. There's a miscommunication that happened between you and Memphis. So Danny, the previous week, had tried to convince Memphis to flip on Tyler. And when she had that conversation, he told her Tyler would be the first to go in the committee. She told you about that later. Then she told Cody. And what she told Cody was that Memphis told her Tyler and Nicole would be the first to go. To my knowledge, Memphis never said your name. He only said Tyler's name. I don't know why Danny said to Cody that Nicole was involved. But so
yeah,
then
that's when I didn't trust Danny, because I'm like, why would she keep my name out and only tell me Tyler, but then tell Cody mine and Tyler's name? That's so sketchy of her.
It was super weird. And so then Cody tells you about it and you guys decided like, OK, we can maybe use this to turn Memphis against Danny a little bit more. So you go to Memphis and you say, look, I've heard that you said I would be one of the first people to go from the committee, thinking this is going to out Danny. But the problem is he never actually said it to Danny. So he thought, well, I just had a conversation with Devon and I didn't say that to Devon, but like maybe I implied it. And so Nicole must be talking with Devon. They must be super tight. This is even more reason for Devon to go home this week. And I can't trust Nicole.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, so I had to just straight up throw her under the bus, but I wasn't willing to say her name because I didn't trust Memphis a ton at that point. But yeah, so it's so crazy now.
Right?
Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, so I don't know why she would even have said that then. That didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I still don't get it, personally. Maybe he did say it. Like, the feed's caught, here and there during conversations, so maybe he did say it at some point, but I never heard him actually say those things, so... Anyway, Devon's really grilling you about did you vote this way? It really felt like you, especially toward the end, there's one conversation just like, look, I really like this is your chance, Nicole. Like, I need you to tell me outside the game, were you the vote? And it felt like you thought about it, but you didn't. How close were you to?
I felt like I said it without saying it. That's how I felt, because
it felt that way a little bit. Yeah.
That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to, sometimes I do that. I did that once with Danny too. I try to say it without actually saying it. And that's all I could do at that point.
You were like, I voted the way you said. So
exactly. Like how obvious can I be? Like, it was I lied so bad. Like, I couldn't make eye contact. It's just like, I don't even remember who I'm supposed to be saying right now. And so I was hoping that she would just like, be like, okay, all right. I see you. I see that you're lying. Like, I see, but I didn't care. Like, I just wanted her to know the truth so bad. But she also did know the truth because it was yelled.
Yes. And,
at that point I was just like, I'm not denying it anymore. And I denied it one more time, but I denied it like, I just said, look, there's nothing I can say to make you believe me without actually denying it, because I wanted her to freaking know. Like, they just told you, like, it's the truth. If someone's going to yell, it's going to be the truth. So,
okay. So it was yelled, and then you still were like,
I still, one time right before the eviction, I was like, I don't feel like there's anything I can say to you that's going to make you believe me. So that was my response.
So I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah. So I'm not going to say anything. Basically just take that and run with it. And you know what's crazy is before that night, I was going to try to flip the vote for Dave on to stay, and I couldn't anymore because of that incident. So I don't know. I probably couldn't have been able to do it, but I was going to at least try to talk to Cody about it and just see what he would say, because I know he didn't like trust Kevin anyway, but we'll never know because of that.
Mm-hmm. So what happened after the things were yelled? Like, what was Devon's reaction?
It was she ran to David and said, I'm so sorry, and she didn't talk to me for over 24 hours, wouldn't make eye contact with me. Kevin was telling everyone, this changes everything. That's when I wanted to go home, because I felt like my game was ruined.
And it seemed like Danny kind of got away clean, and that Devon was still like totally cool with Danny. How did that happen?
So this was a big turning point for me and Danny, and I couldn't talk about it. It wasn't part of the show. So I took the heat for everything. I felt like I was covering for the committee. It was so heavy on my heart. And Danny was letting me take the heat for it. She was telling Devon, well, if Nicole did it, she did it without me knowing, because Danny immediately goes and comforts Devon. Oh my God, I had no idea, which throws me under the bus even harder. And it made me see, wow, Danny's like really playing dirty, because I'm sitting here on, this is what got me and Christmas so, so close. But I saw that what Danny was willing to do, and she literally sat up that night laughing with Devon, making jokes with Devon. I could hear with where I was sleeping, and I just felt so terrible because I felt like a piece of crap. And she knew that I felt like that. And it was just like, I had a sore, and she's just putting salt in the wound and just like twisting it and just making it 10 times worse for me, 10 times more uncomfortable for me. And she only cared about herself at that point. And then that's when I wanted her to use her. I was going to throw the HOH the next day. And I was like, okay, can you use your power? Because I need your power, because I can't have Kevin win this HOH because now he doesn't trust me. And she's like, well, he trusts me, I'll be able to control him. So that was so eye-opening for me, because it could have been anybody's name over the, anybody's name yelled. It wasn't just my move at that point. It was something I did for her. And I felt so betrayed. And that's when I couldn't turn back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something that I was able to express.
All right. Well, Cody's going to win the next HOH. You did cast a vote to keep Devon. Was that just like, what was that?
I told her I would never vote her out.
Yeah.
So I was gonna vote her out. And I was like, so sick of people telling me how to vote that I was just like, I want to do whatever I want to do. So mm-hmm. I didn't care. And yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. Cody wins the next HOH. Things start to get a little more straightforward here. This is when he tells you, Enzo tells him about the second wise guys, which then he turns around and tells you about. What was your reaction to finding out, oh, Christmas is part of a second wise guys alliance? Were you concerned?
I wasn't like super concerned. I just knew I wasn't a priority of hers anymore. And I kind of could feel that anyways. I just wanted to still be close to her. And I was just thankful that Cody told me, because making moves forward, this was like huge information for me.
Mm-hmm. So Cody wins the veto, and you know, everything goes pretty smoothly. you know, you're now, I just think, I think kind of just caught you just pretending to agree with whatever Danny said to you, because it wasn't worth disagreeing. And
that's the thing is, like, I think people thought sometimes that that's what I was feeling, or that's what, but that's not, like, you're playing a game. You're talking to people. You have to tell them what they want to hear. So yeah, I'm just nodding.
Mm-hmm. And this is, again, this is, Cody is putting a lot of work with Enzo. This is when they have that conversation. Like, look, Christmas, she's unreliable. She's got this wise guys thing. Tyler tried to quit the game. Like, Danny's running around. Nicole's our only reliable ally, Enzo. Really drilling it into his head. And by the end of this week, Enzo is feeling it, even though Tyler is still on Enzo about, like, No, Enzo, it's not just Danny. It's Danny and Nicole. You need to put them both up. And Enzo would be like, yeah, Danny and, like, David. And he'd be like, no, Danny and Nicole. And then Enzo would go to Cody and be like, Tyler wants Nicole, yo. And Cody would be like, yeah, see, we can't trust Tyler. And this was obviously just in time for the triple eviction. So we see that eventually we get Kevin is evicted, and we head into the triple eviction. You get put up next to David. Tyler tries to flip this vote against you. This seemed very close when we watched it, because Christmas voted against you. Tyler voted against you. Tyler talks to Enzo in the hallway right before they go in to vote. And it's like, I don't know, he might do it.
Totally. It's so scary. I can't even imagine, like, being my family watching that night. Oh my God. Yeah. I didn't realize, like, I knew that I could tell they were flipping. Like, I don't know if it was on the show, but, like, I said, Enzo, I was like, Enzo, get in here. And I was like, sit down. I was like, are they trying to flip it on me? And he's like, No. And I was like, well, go out there and make sure they don't flip it. And then he goes out there, and then here they are trying to flip it, but he didn't want to tell me until after. But thank God, obviously, it was crazy to me that Christmas flipped on me. I could see Tyler, but it was crazy. But now, knowing that Tyler and Christmas, it just showed how close they were to me.
Mm-hmm. And Tyler had continued to work on Christmas. Yeah. as time went on, he was still pushing Danny and Nicole with Christmas just as much as he was with Enzo, but he had more success with Christmas because Cody was not there to rebuff anything. Part two of the triple eviction, Tyler wins the HOH and he puts you up next to Danny. You're on the block again. And this is definitely another one of another dangerous situation, because if Danny wins this veto, you could have been in some trouble here. Ultimately, everything's fine. This is the situation that has been waiting to happen for a while, which is Danny versus Nicole on the block and Danny goes home.
Yeah, and I think, like, that was that moment, like, with the veto and stuff, that was really, really stressful, obviously. But I think that Danny was close to winning that veto, so that was scary for me. But I also think that, do you know who, like, Tyler would have put up, or you don't know?
I don't know for sure. It could have been Cody, just to make sure you went home. Yeah.
Crazy. Okay. Yeah. No, that was a very crazy night, and I honestly, like, don't remember, like, hardly any of it.
Mm-hmm. Now he might, like, I think the way out for you is if he puts up Memphis, you're fine. Cause I think Memphis goes home over you in that spot. But
that's who I was hoping he would put up. But I mean, if he wanted me out that bad, I don't know if he would have.
Mm-hmm. Cause that's the thing. I think he probably knew that if he put up Memphis, Memphis would end up going home. So, we'd have to ask Tyler.
I just tried to be very forgiving with that whole thing. Like, I was just, oh my God, like, Tyler, like, I understand. Just, you know, just acting, like, desperate during that and knowing, like, as long as the noms say the same, I'm fine. Like, that was a good feeling, which is so crazy. On a mm-hmm. triple eviction, I was like, as long as Danny stays on the block, I'm good.
You also had to clear the air with Christmas afterward. And you do so pretty successfully, because that relationship does seem to repair even better than it actually had been before, even though you thought it was better than it was before.
Yeah, I think she just felt, did she really feel guilty? Cause that's how it kind of came off.
I don't think she felt guilty, but I think she felt like genuinely, this is one of my better paths to the end.
Oh, okay. Yes, because that's what I was just trying to, like, make her feel like I had nobody really, and that I would never have done that to her, and I felt betrayed and stuff like that. But at that point, I was really mad at her and Tyler for that whole week, like, really mad at them.
Yeah.
So it's hard to keep that separate as far as, like, wanting either one of them to stay in the house was really hard for me.
So it's at this point in the game, like, Tyler and Christmas are on the block. Do you, what is your strategy for the end game? Ideally, we eventually find out that you would prefer to have, like, Christmas and Cody in the final three. Is there a way that you can feel like that? You feel like you can make that happen? You know, or is it kind of just like, we'll see how it plays out.
So coming out of the triple for me, it was really a week by week game. So even with that, as soon as Christmas was the only one I was scared of in that each competition. I didn't think Enzo would put me up. I didn't think Cody would put me up. And I knew Memphis would put me up next to, I thought, Tyler. So I thought as long as I thought I just saw it week by week at that point, because I felt like I didn't have a lot to go off of. And so once Christmas got out of that HOH comp, I was like, I can probably get out of this. And then I it was just survival mode. It was absolute survival mode at that point. I wasn't thinking about how am I going to get to the end at that point with Tyler and Christmas in the house. Once we got Tyler out, it was much easier to see the end of that game.
Mm-hmm. So Tyler goes out. It seems like in the jury, Danny leaves and she doesn't seem to have a lot of respect for your game. Yeah. It's at this point that I was like, I really don't feel great about Nicole's game if Danny is the one in the jury, because Danny was the first member of the committee to get to the jury. And she was going to be there for a whole week. And so she was going to be their main source of information when it came to, like, what's been happening on the other side of things. And the fact that she was, like, anti-Nicole was like, okay, well, that's really bad news for Nicole. And then they kind of thought, like, okay, well, then Cody and Tyler are probably running things. Then Tyler goes and they're like, okay, I guess it's Cody then. And it felt like very heavily that Cody was going to have this one in the bag, and that your only hope of winning was going to be winning some competitions, either taking out Cody or really, like, distinguishing yourself and maybe being able to beat Cody. How much of that was in your head?
You know, I thought that I played a really good game as far as all the obstacles I had to overcome that people don't even understand, or you don't know, like, you don't see just from watching live feeds, like, every little thing that I done. I just felt like, okay, I thought I could hang with Cody. I understand that he's the one that talks a lot, looks like he's manipulating, looking like he's doing all these things. But I felt like getting there was such a big deal. And I knew people wouldn't have, being loud about getting there isn't ever my gameplay. I'm not a loud player. I'm not a loud person. I just want the outcome, and then I'll deal with it when I'm there. And so I didn't know Danny would be so against my game. That wasn't good for me. And it's just, I don't understand it still, but I did play dumb to her a lot, and I guess she just really bought it. And so, I don't know, I guess it's frustrating. And it's frustrating to me as, like, a former winner going back in the house, knowing that I've spent the most days in the Big Brother house out of anyone else. I know how to navigate the game. I know what it feels like. No one knows that. No one knows what goes into your whole entire day. What you do from when you wake up to when you go to sleep is very, very important in that house. And everything that I did wasn't just, like, putting people on the block, wasn't trying to get people to flip, wasn't looking like I'm controlling the house. Like, it was so much deeper than that. Trying to get a box of noodles out of the top shelf, I made it look like it was the hardest thing in the world. Just being helpless was a really big part of my game. And so I think if people would just understand with what I worked with, what I had, I didn't have Cody's muscles. I didn't have, I'm an introvert. He's an extrovert. I'm a winner, former winner. He's not. I'm 5'1". He's 6 foot. Like, it shouldn't all be about comp wins and muscles, because if I had those muscles, I would freaking win those comps too. I wasn't in a position where I didn't really need to. I could have, it's so freaking frustrating to think that I could have made it to the end and people would not have given me credit for getting there, but I still got there. And it that pisses me off that they were just going to write me off and say like I didn't deserve it, and that it was, no one was allowed. I heard in the jury house that no one was allowed to speak positively about my game. The minute they did, people would jump down their throats. People, person, I mean. And so it's just very frustrating. And I don't get it. I don't, because we have to play games. Big Brother is not the challenge where it's just about challenges. It's so much more on the social level. And I just think it's not, you're just telling people when they go in there, like you need to do these things, have a checklist and do these things. Otherwise you don't deserve to win. And that's what's frustrating for me, because going in there, that's not something I ever planned on doing, was running the, looking like I'm running the house and letting everyone know I'm running the house. Like, it just wasn't in the cards for me. So looking back on it now, it's frustrating, because I had a lot more hope in the house that people would be like, holy crap. Like, she got there and she did what she had to do to get there. And I respect that. There, I felt like there wasn't hardly any of that. And that was a long-winded response. I'm sorry, but it's frustrating.
I can imagine so.
Being Cody did a lot of the same things I did, and they're perceived differently. Like, it's okay if he does this. It's not okay if I do this. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Nicole. She did this, but Cody did this too, but let's not talk about it. Like, game moves are, you're just, it's a perception, I guess, of whatever anybody wants to think. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like it's one of those things where the ball starts rolling and it really starts getting momentum. I really feel like, you know, the week that Ian goes home, from that point forward, it kind of makes it feel like Cody is the one that has a little bit of an edge over you, right? And then people start saying like, oh, well, if Cody gets to the end, he's probably going to win, right? Because he's running the show.
Great game. I'm not trying to say he played a freaking awesome game. I'm just saying that it's frustrating that it's like me and like Enzo, we did nothing. Like, we did something.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I mean, I went over all three of your games leading up to the finale, and honestly, I think all three of you played really, really good games. Cody potentially playing one of the more dominant games we've ever seen. So the fact that you may have come up in, you know, second place to him, I really don't think is that much of a detriment to what you accomplished in this game, because you did come in as a winner. You're playing against all stars. You had a couple of relationships coming in, but you also had a couple of negative relationships coming in. And I really do think that you played very well. I think, like I said, like sometimes the ball gets rolling, and when people start talking about like, okay, if Cody makes it to the end, he's going to win, meaning you need to cut Cody. Like, in a way, like their disdain for Cody because they wanted him to be cut, was like, it was a double-edged sword. Like, I want somebody to cut him. So if they don't, I'm more mad at them for letting him get there. And so
it's my fault for thinking that I could hang with him, but being in the house with him, and I felt like I kind of knew majority of what he was doing. And I felt like I was working just as hard in a different way. And I think that that's where I couldn't have beat him. There's no way that jury would have ever, like, justified me winning over him. And I understand that, but it's just frustrating for them not to give me a shot when I felt like I just felt like that. It's just so freaking frustrating. But like I said, Cody played an awesome game. And I voted for him, and I know I would have voted for him over anybody in the house. And it's, he played a like almost a flawless game. And I told him that all the time. Like it was a really, really, really good game. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I think I took a lot of, I don't know where it came from, like where in the jury, they were so against my game. I guess I haven't watched it. And I just heard that people just weren't allowed to say anything nice about my game. And so that's where the frustration comes in. Cause not only was I playing against the people in the house, I was playing against the outside world. And that's not something that anybody has done. And it was frustrating for me because it altered my games a lot. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I obviously don't know what happened in the jury necessarily, but from my guess, my understanding from what I've seen and what I've heard, is that Devon told me there was no way I was ever going to vote for Nicole. Like, you got me twice. No, I'm not going to give you my vote twice. And Danny was, I think, the person that was very anti-Nicole. But I think I heard from Kevin in the house, and he said afterward that, like, he, appreciated your game. He said in the house, like, if Nicole, like, wins something and, like, makes a big move, like taking out Cody, perhaps, perfectly willing to vote for you. David seemed to respect your game, and Memphis respected you as a two-time winner. He was, I think, open to it. Christmas, I think, was like open to it. So I think there were people that were like open to it. I think ultimately the problem comes in if we fast forward just a little bit here. You win the final five HOH and veto, which is great for your end game in terms of building up some kind of resume. You take Memphis out. Enzo wants you out at the final four, in case you didn't already know that, but is unable to take you out, of course. And he had no way of taking you out as soon as he won HOH, because neither Christmas or Cody would have done it. But ultimately, Christmas leaves. You go into the final three with Enzo and Cody. And you're basically in a spot here now, knowing what we know, which is that Cody is not going to take you, that basically the only way you sit next to Cody is if you win and take him. And I think that from what I've heard from the jury would have been like an additional final straw, right? Like you have the choice, you have the Cody choice, Derek or Victoria in a way. And you're choosing to take, the Derek, over the Enzo. I don't want to compare Enzo to Victoria necessarily, but I think ultimately the choice, like if we were to say, like, you maybe came like one question away from potentially winning, it would have been if you had been willing to cut Cody, I think. How do you feel about that? Like what was the decision that went into, like, even though you knew you had a better shot against Enzo, you still wanted to stake Cody?
I think it was because I was, a lot went into that. I looked at the board and I thought, so Devon came into the house and she told me if Paul or I would have taken James, we both would have lost. Mm. That was very alarming to me because I was like, oh my God, really? And so I knew Enzo was like, popular. He was the most popular house guest and he was like James, I felt like. And I looked at the board and I was like, I see all these people that like love Enzo and I feel like he hasn't like done any harm to these people. So if they're bitter at all, which I expected them to be, then when I was counting votes, I was like, Enzo could almost have more votes. And I would rather, if I'm going to sit next to someone and lose, then I'll let it be Cody, I guess. And that's kind of how your mind works. Now, being outside of the house, your mind doesn't work that way. When I look back, I'm like, I'm an idiot. I have to never play this game again because it's the stupidest thing I could have done. When you're in the house, it's so much different. It's the exact same reason that Cody did take Derek. It's the exact same reason like that this happens, that you don't cut the person that's been by your side this entire game. And for me, it's weird to me to think that the jury would be like, oh, that's the final straw. For me, it'd be like, holy crap, like, Nicole took Cody. She knows what she's doing and she's not scared. And I think that's a good move on Nicole's part instead of being like, oh my gosh, she didn't cut Cody. Like what a terrible thing. What a terrible game move. It's like, I guess I viewed it as the other way of like not taking the easy way out. And that was just my perspective on it. And yeah, I guess I thought that I could potentially win. And that was a miscalculation on my part. I thought that I could maybe have Kevin, maybe David, maybe Ian, which I didn't probably have him at all. And then maybe Christmas and maybe Memphis. Those were the five that I was like thinking could potentially, but you know, I don't know what I would have really done in that situation had I been in it, because I wasn't in it. So do I know I would have taken Cody? No. Do I think I would have? Yeah. But there's the same thing with the Paul and James. It was the exact same mindset going back and forth. And I cannot stress to you enough how hard that decision is. And watching from the outside world it's a no brainer. And in there, it's absolutely not. Like, you can see Cody's tears when he cut me. Like, that's intense.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't easy for him.
I mean, we have a lot more information than you do. You haven't seen these people in like two months, some of them.
Right. So yeah, it was crazy to think that I would have wanted to sit next to him, but I just felt like I overcame so many obstacles this season that I thought it would be, I don't know. I was just like, I felt like I overcame a lot, and they knew they did. And I think Cody kind of knew that too. And that's kind of why he cut me. It wouldn't have been, I don't think it would have been 9-0, but.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so either. I think a lot, like personally, I think a lot of the time it comes down to like, what does the jury want you to do? Like on their own personal level. And like, they got taken out sort of either by Cody or by the structure that Cody put in place. And so they all felt frustrated with Cody and they wanted somebody to take out Cody. So like they got really mad at Enzo for keeping you. They're like, why isn't Enzo doing something? And I feel like at the end of the day, whether it's like the honorable thing to take Cody or the, you know, snake thing or whatever, I think really what it comes down to is like, they wanted Cody to be evicted. They wanted him to feel what they felt. And the fact that nobody was doing it for them, they were like, well, screw you then. We'll give it to Cody. Like, he deserves it.
That makes sense. That makes so much sense. Like, that makes sense totally. That they felt like he was responsible for their eviction and that he would owe them, they owe him the vote. So yeah, I get that. And he did play a great, 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 great game. Like, obviously one of the best games I think that we've ever seen, ever. And he did it loudly, and it was obvious, and nobody stopped him, and he never even sat on the block. I mean, he was a lot of competition, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The only part I get frustrated with is just, like, hearing that the jury wasn't able to, like, appreciate anything else besides his game.
Yeah. Well, I do think, you know, from my perspective, like being honest with you, coming into this season, I was somebody that was like, hey, I think Nicole deserves more credit than she gets. And when I started the season, I got a lot of pushback for that. By the end of the season, it really felt like a lot of people have turned around on your game. I talked about this at the start of the podcast. I really do think that the audience can appreciate your game. I think, you know, many of them will probably point to that final decision of like being willing to take Cody as probably the biggest error. But either way, I think it can't be ignored that you've now played three times, you've won once, and you came pretty close to winning a second time. And I think that personally, I think that this was your strongest game in terms of like what you were doing and what you were capable of, and the sort of like the adversity that you were against, or that was against you. And so, it's a hard pill to swallow, I imagine, the whole situation, but I hope that, you know, despite everything else, despite anything else, there, I think, is a portion of the fan base that definitely does appreciate the game that you played.
Yeah, no, and I honestly, I'm proud of the game. I'm proud of what I knew I had to do. I did what I had to do to get there. And there's nothing more that I could have done besides win the last comp and cut Cody. That's the only, I would have been the first two-time winner probably. And it's just, I think when you're in there, it's just, it's a lot different than when you're not. So that's what I try to explain to people as well. Like, it's not as obvious when you're in there. and I don't know what the jury's saying and stuff like that. But
yeah, I mean, I talked about that a lot toward the end, that like, you know, I can imagine being in that spot where you're not sure. We're not sure. We still, up until the finale, we were pretty sure that Cody was going to move, but like Melissa was on the podcast, like, no, I'm telling you, Nicole will beat Cody in a jury vote with all the information we had. And like, you just don't know sometimes. And when you're in there and you're looking at these two options, and Enzo, for a while, we thought Enzo would beat anybody in a jury vote. It wasn't until he kept you that the jury started being like, oh, what is he doing? And so, you know, you can imagine like being in a spot where like I could take the person that I'm not loyal to and still lose. Like, that's the worst of both worlds. Like, in order to, like, it's a tough decision. As you talked about, we saw Cody crying as he cut you. Like, it was tough. It was hard to do that, right?
Yeah, totally. And then hearing Cody, like, after say that if I would have cut him, he would have voted for Enzo, like, it's just mind boggling to me. Like, wait, for real? Like, okay. You just never know how people's brains are working and what they're thinking. And like that I thought he was just saying that to me in the house as like strategy, but like saying it outside the house, I'm like, oh my God, like, it's just, I don't know. That part surprises me too. Like, you may think you know where someone's vote is, but you absolutely have no idea. Like, they could be the most bitter juror member that you've ever seen, or they can just be like so understanding. And yeah, like cutting Cody, this is what I felt. I said in the diary room over and over again, cutting Cody would have made me feel like a terrible person, and I couldn't live with myself doing it. Like, that's how I felt. Yes, it's a game, but my heart is involved. And then when people want to see it as a game, they'll see it as a game. And when people want to see it as a personal thing, they'll see it as a personal thing. And so you want to see me like cut Cody as a game move. And for me, that was like personal, I guess. And I don't know.
Were the results of the last few seasons in your head at all in regards to this? Because, you know, Josh takes Paul to the end in 19 and wins. Casey takes Tyler to the end in 20. And wins. I imagine that has to be in your head to some degree, right? Like, you can take the stronger person and then win the game.
Oh yeah, I do. Like, I literally thought that. I thought that I could take the stronger person and win. Like, holy crap, she's not scared. Whereas not like, oh, she made a stupid decision. That's where my brain was at. And because as a jury member, that's how I think. I think, oh wow, Cody took Nicole. Like, he's confident, you know, not like that. That's just, we all think so differently. So, I remember I went out there on stage and they were like, who are you going to take? Who are you going to take? And I was like, I think Cody. And then they were all like scuffing, like, oh my God. Like, and I was just so annoyed because I was thinking, I literally just got evicted and I'm trying to process everything. And also, like, they were so, as in like, oh my God, you would have so like lost, da da da, not even wanting to hear my answers to anything, not wanting to hear my speech, not wanting to hear my game. Like, the talking at the end means crap. That's what you're telling me. Like, if I were playing this whole facade in this whole game, it didn't matter. You already knew who you were voting for. And that's a frustrating thing to me too, is like, your game is built up in jury. Everyone's talking about it and you can't really change their minds and whatever. What do you get? A minute and 30 seconds. And so that was really frustrating for me as well. And so knowing that his comp wins were loud, and also he played a terrific game. He had his hand in everything, but that they weren't even willing to, like, I was dirt. So that's how it felt. And it was just like a lot to take in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you've seen much of Big Brother Canada. I said this to Netta, who had a rough exit herself, that, you know, I'm sure it still stings. And I don't know, you know, if this helps at all, but the final three, that moment was huge. Like, in terms of the show, like, that I think is going to be the thing that everyone remembers from this season. And you were a huge part of it, right? Like, if there's any consolation, right? Like, there are a lot of people that found the season to be very slow and not the most exciting, and I really do think that you contributed toward the you know, the crowning moment of the season, really, in a weird way. I know,
it's a lot of people's favorite moments.
Yes, and I hope you know, like, it's not necessarily because people like loved that you lost. There were a lot of people rooting for you coming into the finale. It was just that, like, you don't see moments like that very often on the show that are just that raw. It was a lot.
It was a lot. And that's why I haven't like thought about anything to do with the show really since at all. But it's kind of good to like go through it. I think that was something that I needed to do, is like, because at the time, like, I really appreciated my game. And then coming off, of course, I'm just like, oh, it was so horrible. I could have did this. I could have did that. And I beat myself up for like a week. And then now I'm on the train of like, I'm pretty good at the game. So I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for talking with me. I can imagine how difficult. Let me tell you, I probably would not be able to talk about it. I would be living in a hole for like years. I would never be like, I'm just like way too competitive.
Yeah. Hard. It was the hardest way to go out. Third place, I never knew what that felt like. And then also to be cut by my best ally. Oh my God. Like, I had nightmares last night. I have nightmares every single night where sometimes they're good, where I make it to final two. And then, but it's then that every single night, it's the replay of final three.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how long that will last.
Where does it stand now? Like Big Brother, the players that you played with, like where's your head at?
You know, I'm not the same person that played season 16. And I think that's really obvious to people, but I just want to let everyone know, like, this game changes you until you play. I don't think you can really understand like what we go through, what it's like. The second time was really difficult. And the third time was hell. So I just like, I can never, ever, ever do that to myself again. Like, I'm changed and I'm like getting emotional, but it was so freaking hard.
It is. And
it's just like, I just feel like I used to be so trusting and things like that. And now I feel like I'm a lot smarter, so that's good. But as far as like, it changes you completely. And so, yeah, in 16, I was like sweet and naive and the underdog. And now I'm like, throw anything you want at me and I will get to the end of that game because I am damn good at it. That's just like, I think no matter what, if you want to yell, whatever you want to yell over that damn wall, I'll get through it. And I think I proved that. That no matter, I could have anybody against me at any time. And I think I'm pretty good at navigating. And so it's been a completely different game every single time. The most fun was definitely season 16 and I did the worst. So my advice is just to go in and have fun and suck at the game. if you want it, it to be a good memory, because I think if you're really trying, it's not that fun. it's not fun to actually lie, backstab, and play the game. And it's just getting harder and harder. And people are being more, they just critique you and they hold you to this high standard of what, of being a person in real life. But we're in a game. So it's just different.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people that play once and it's a traumatic experience for them and they never fully recover. They wake up in the middle of the night for like years later. And you have spent the most amount of time of anyone playing this game. So, you know, I can only imagine, like, where do you go from here now?
I'm going to make it into something positive. I already know that. I'm going to, not let this hold me back or get me down at all. And I think if anything, that this was something that I needed to go through. I'm not quite sure why yet, but I will figure it out. And it lit a fire under my butt, that's for sure. And I'm going to get to work on whatever's next, which is, we're getting married and we're going to be having a family, but it's much more than that for me. It was such an, just how it was different every time is so insane to me. And it's a lot to dissect. And I think I have a lot to write and a lot to, that I think people can learn from, because I am still, it's crazy how you're the same person. Yes, I've changed, but if anything, my heart's just gotten bigger over the past couple of years, but how I've been a different character every season, but yet I'm still Nicole. So I think there's a lot to say in that, how, what this has done to me and where to go from here. I just feel like it's just, I got a lot more to give, just like differently, not on reality TV anymore. I'm done with that, but it's just, it's literally given me wrinkles and, probably took like 30 years off my life. So, mm-hmm. And also going through that with like anxiety is so hard. And I think that's really why I missed that first question. I was so caught off guard. It was upstairs and I thought it was just A or B. And the next thing you know, it's A, B, or C. And then I realized, oh my God, like I won part one. So Cody had studied for part two. He has an edge on me. My heart's probably at 180 and I didn't even hear like the first question. I didn't read anything. I was just like blacked out. And then once I got it wrong, I was like, oh my God, I need to like kick it into gear. And then I got all the rest right. But it's like, even playing with that in like was a lot, you know, on top of everything else. So it's like, oh, it was hard.
Yeah. Well,
I was like saying so much, but I appreciate you talking and listening to me. And I haven't like talked about this at all yet. So it's just like a lot when I start to talk about it.
No, I mean, of course it is. I mean, I think anybody would have a lot to say in this particular spot. Where do you stand with the Big Brother community at this point? Like, you I think have to contend with a lot of people that don't like you very much. I think you also have your fans. Where does that stand with you?
So as far as the Big Brother community, I say that I really found out who my friends were. I know who my friends are. I know who my true friends are. And that's about it. And it's honestly so damn refreshing. I love it. I love to be able to just be like, my gut was right. And I knew it. and so that hasn't affected me at all. If anything, that's better for me because I'm so past like the fake friendships and I'm going to be nice to everybody, but if you're talking crap about me, I just am not going to put in any effort. And I think that it was really easy to, see that this season. but I'll always like love Big Brother, even though it's been really hard. It's given me so much. It's given me so much. And so I am so grateful. I just don't think like going back this last time was at all what I anticipated. And so I can only move forward mm-hmm. and I'll make it as positive as I possibly can.
All right. Well,
I have a lot of good friends from there, so I'll keep them. And that's it.
Sounds good. Anything else you want to get off your chest before we wrap this up?
No, I think I did a lot. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much for giving me your time here. I really appreciate going through your game. I know the my audience at least really appreciates it. And I'm sure they're going to enjoy it a lot.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. That's what we have for you guys with Nicole. Thank you all for joining us. We're going to have some more coverage for you guys. More interviews, probably. There's going to be a final wrap-up roundtable that will probably take place pretty soon. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. Nicole, where can people find you if they want to check you out on social media?
Coconuts_ on Instagram, and then I don't use Twitter, but I have Twitter. It's like Nicole_Frenzel.
All right. Talking,
and we'll be talking about a lot on our podcast, Coco Caliente. I think I have a lot to say on there, and I think that's a great place to do it because I can do hours and hours.
All right. Thank you all once again for joining us, and I will see you next time.